The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul. In your soul, in your soul. A century of dreams haunted the loggers and the cowboys.
Well, here we are, and it does settle in your soul. We had a bit of a technical difficulty there, but we're back. This is Terry Raposa. This is Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from downtown Reading at KCNR Studios. We are also on 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM, and streaming live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever and ever and ever. And I'm here with Christina. How are you, my dear?
Good morning. I'm doing great, as always. My favorite Sunday.
I'm glad. Mine, too.
How have you been?
I've been
good. There's something really incredible coming soon on a Wednesday, if I'm right, Terry.
Yes, the most important day of the year.
I totally agree.
Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
Is it your birthday?
Yes.
Almost.
Anyway, I'm here with Lori Jones and Patrick Jones. Patrick is the supervisor for District 4, and Lori is his wonderful wife. And we're going to get some updates on some things. I've had some questions over the last couple of weeks on things as far as the supervisors and what we're accomplishing, what some of the plans are. And the biggest thing that comes up to me is the jail, the jail, the jail, the jail. There seems to be one side is saying we're going to build a jail out by the airport, and then one side is saying we're going to build it downtown. And so can you kind of give us the straight scoop on that?
Sure. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate being on. And so I was on the hour before, and so I'll be on the entire hour this time. And so we can talk a little bit more detail about some of those things. And so there has been a lot of work, particularly for me being chair last year, behind the scenes, working with the sheriff, his command staff, our staff at the county, our CEO, Public Works, financing, our finance officer, as to what can we do, what is within our grasp, and what is not. And I think most of us now, in those meetings that we've had throughout the entire year of 2023, we came to some agreements as to some of the things that we're not able to do. Now, early on in that process, the sheriff was allowed a small amount of money, $25,000, to have some town hall meetings to talk about the possibility of a correctional facility off-site, off from the downtown campus. And so he did hold a few meetings. At no time did we discuss how much it would be and could it be afforded. And the reality was the only way that was going to have to work is we were going to have to extract more money from the public in the form of taxes, and I was unwilling to do that, and I think most people already feel they're already overtaxed. So what can we do ourselves? What's within our means? And to me, that was pretty clear. We need to stay on the downtown site. We have the acreage down there, even though it doesn't appear like it. The court has been slow to vacate the old courthouse and move into the new one. They're just about there. It's only a couple weeks away. Once that occurs, we will start having more serious discussions. We will start also taking a look at what it's going to cost. And as that old building gets demoed, we will inform the public of what it's going to do to the budget, because this is a very expensive project, $125 million, that's the estimate as of now. And as you know, estimates probably go up. And so that is not going to be an easy thing to finance. Our CEO has essentially put all department heads on notice that this is the number one priority unless the majority of the board changes. And then the new will of the new board, if such changes course, it could be a huge setback. But right now it is a number one priority, and we can't really talk in detail until the demolition of the old courthouse occurs. And so that's why it's been a little quiet, but I can guarantee you that we've been meeting behind the scenes quite a bit.
Well, I know that there's been a lot of talk about how much it's going to cost here, how much it's going to cost there, but in 2021, basically, you know, prices of raw materials doubled. And yeah. So how can you possibly make a guesstimate that it's going to be, you know, if it was, say, $300 million to build something out, at the airport, it's now probably going to be $400 or $500 million. It'll be a half a billion. And I think those estimates are fair only because we had some damage to our home.
Yep.
And when the contractors fixed it, everything was doubling as they were doing it during 2021.
Yeah. And if you talk about 2019, prices,
oh,
you're not going to do yourself any good there. The prices have gone considerably higher. And that does affect what we're able to do, the size and the ability. But at the end of the day, I think if the majority of the board stays focused, and I think they will, and get this new facility moving forward, it is going to have an immediate and positive effect, mainly for the city of Reading, but it really will help all the cities and the county as well, trying to hold people accountable. Right now, you know, we're not doing that very well. And this rotation of people in and out is obviously causing great harm to our county. And then we have some other new ideas coming forward as well that I will be sharing fairly soon in the next few months that I think will also directly go to what some of the people are talking about. For example, at our at-home meetings, one of the things that happens right now is when you're an inmate in Shasta County Jail and your time is up, we open the door and you walk out the front door. We'd like to see a change in that because obviously those people, while they may be clean and sober at that time and you have an opportunity there, we're not taking advantage of that opportunity. And I think some changes are going to be made to work with people exiting jail. And I believe Shasta County will lead that effort. And so I'm looking forward to that. I've brought this idea up. It's not a new idea. Other communities are doing it. And I look forward to that as we move through this process. And for me, obviously, we're knee-deep in running campaigns right now. March 5th is coming soon, and so some of our attention is that. But we have accomplished a lot already these first two meetings in the year, and we'll be doing more on the next meeting. It's the 30th, next Tuesday, and it's a night meeting. And so the first meeting this year, we terminated impact fees, which is a great start. And then on the second meeting, we challenged the state. We passed a resolution opposing SB2 and returning some rights that were taken from some of our citizens, and so I'm very proud about that.
Yeah, I think that it really makes a lot of sense what you're talking about as far as once we get this jail built, we pull the people off the street. We know there's like 300 of them that keep getting arrested, as many as 20 times. And then they get back out in their environment again, and that is the environment. The thing that I heard on the last program, they talked about returning them to a situation where the environment changes. Well, the environment changes where they go back when the other people that are chronic offenders are in jail,
right?
Because it creates its own problem. The other, I think the thing that a lot of people are thinking about also, to change the subject here a bit, is Health and Human Services. And Lori brought up a really good point last couple of times we have been in here. She talked about Health and Human Services, and that is half our budget.
Correct.
And with Health and Human Services, Lori made a really good point saying, you know, we've got all these grants and all this money that's going there. We don't know where the hell it's being spent. I mean, I haven't heard as a citizen or a constituent here What are they doing with all that money? I mean, we have problems, but what are they doing with the money? What are the programs?
Yeah,
how do they work?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I can tell you right now, we have a new director of Health and Human Services, Laura Birch, and she really is doing a great job along with Christy Coleman. And they're tasked with a monster department with 100 different programs. And so they're systematically going through those programs and finding inefficiencies, consolidating when necessary. In fact, earlier we talked a tiny bit about the COC, and that's the continuum of care for seven counties. And the county was paying the admin costs for seven counties. And we've done that for 7 years. And it's been costing you, the taxpayers, around $400,000.
Wow.
We've ended that. And so now that's a savings that we can use for other more important things. And so that's what Laura Birch is doing. She is systematically, one program at a time, making improvements. And she's doing a great job. She's doing exactly what the board asked her to do, and she's doing that effectively. The other thing, I have talked and met with the Director of Health and Human Services, Laura Birch, about some other projects that Health and Human Services would operate. And there's at least two different opportunities to try something different than what we're doing. Because everybody agrees that what we're doing isn't working to the full extent that we would like. Now, that doesn't mean we don't help people. We do help a lot of people in Shasta County. But there are people falling through the cracks that are very visible, and the public is seeing them. And so we have a perception issue in Shasta County and in the city of Redding that is causing harm. And we do want to address it, and so attention is going to be applied in that area. You know, and unfortunately, you know, when they talk about our budget growing, it's mainly through Health and Human Services and all these state-mandated programs that we have to complete, and propositions, and we do those the best that we can. I don't agree with a lot of them. I wish I could turn down some of that money, because I think some of the money that was intended to solve a problem is actually enabling the very problem that we're trying to get rid of. But unfortunately, when they're state mandated, it makes it more difficult. However, we can overhaul those programs to try to make them efficient. And efficiency in government, I tell you, is a tough thing, because they've never been held to high standards in efficiencies. For example, I sit on the Reading Area Bus Authority Board, and that's a $12-13 million budget. And when we spend a dollar of your gas tax or sales tax or any other public funds, we get back about 5 cents on the dollar.
That's right.
And they consider that to be okay, and it drives me crazy, because there's no incentive to try to do better in public transportation. And that's systematic throughout government. So are we going to be able to fix and solve everything? No, but we're going to try. And I think this board has a sense of urgency and setting term limits, so that we're not going to be there for a career. We're going to be there for a term or two, and then move on. And so I'm looking forward. I really like this new board. When Kevin Cry came on, Supervisor Cry, now Chair Cry, and Supervisor Kellstrom, it did change the direction of Shasta County, and I think for the better.
I think one of the points, and I heard the last show, and there's several things that kind of bothered me a little bit, but one of the things Mr. Plummer had mentioned, that there was 100 different programs all across the nation that were working. Okay, the understanding of jurisdiction, California is responsible for all the policies, all the direction, and as you just got through saying, creates the laws that we have to follow, or if they're unconstitutional, we don't have to follow, and that's another subject. But the point being is that it doesn't matter what they're doing on the homeless in Georgia. It doesn't matter what they're doing in Alabama. It matters what they're doing in California, because the jurisdiction of the direction, policy, et cetera, the grants, et cetera, is all state-run. I think that's the ignorance of not understanding what the jurisdiction is.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at what Louisiana does and other places, and they have some pretty effective programs that we're not able to do in California.
That's right.
We can't have tent cities. We can't do a lot of things. We have to house the homeless in California, and that's your tax money. And, you know, and I know Nick Gardner come up to me the other day, and he says, you know, this encampment grant that the city of Reading got at $8 million, he goes, you know, that's money is being spent on the homeless, and that really is, that's our tax money. You know, and I disagree with that. And it's hard to argue with him, right? Because to a large extent, he's correct. We're spending a lot of your money. We're only getting small results. We are going to take a different direction. We are going to try something different to see if we have some improvement, because I'm not afraid of saying what we've done has failed, And so you just don't keep doing it, right? You at least try something different. And if that don't work and it fails, I will say it and try something different again.
Yeah, I think people are getting tired of the fact that, you know, you can go ahead and you can go ahead and run something up that, gee whiz, you know, it's working in this state, it's working here, it's working there. But again, as you pointed out, over a couple of different things, the state really has the jurisdiction over some of those things. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the ordinance you passed,
mm-hmm.
With the CCWs, in that the people of the county can go to county buildings, and more importantly, which I think is a great idea, the employees should be able to even though it is a privilege, they should be able to have this situation, especially, you know, walking out of there late at night during the winter. If you're a young woman and you have to protect yourself, there's a lot of people meandering around because of this homeless problem, et cetera.
And I'd worked with the local chapter of CRPA on this, and they've been a great help for me looking at the specifics within the law, the detail, the penal code sections and so forth. And so we found 171B section 4 that gave some power to the board if they so chose to exercise it. And so I contacted Chair Cry, had this resolution put on the agenda, and working with the CEO, they were able to craft this resolution to give some power back to the people that was taken from us. Now, as you know, Terry, it is a little confusing because a concealed weapon permit isn't a constitutional right,
That's
as you
right.
know, because it's a permit.
Right.
No constitutional right can they charge a fee. No constitutional right do you need to seek permission. And you have to do both of those things here. Your real constitutional right is to carry a firearm, to carry a gun, and that's open carry. And of course, Mark Beard is challenging the state as we speak. He has dedicated 5 years of his life to push forward on that. I give him a great amount of credit to move that ball forward, and I think ultimately that will be the law of the land here. I'll probably consider getting rid of my concealed weapon permit at that point because of the costs, and I have to ask every 2 years, and I have to be permitted, and I just dislike that, and a lot of us dislike that. Now, in Shasta County, we're fortunate. We have at least 12,000 people that do have a permit. SB2, as you know, when it passed and went into effect on January 1st, had a huge amount of restrictions as to where your permit would no longer be good, and made the instructors much more difficult. In fact, we had 40 instructors here in Shasta County. It took it down to 5 by design. Then there was a stay put on it. That stay was lifted, and now a stay was put back on it. The sheriff did come out and said he is not going to enforce SB2, but that doesn't mean other agencies won't. And so I did what I could do, and then one step further. And so the local entity in charge of security of county buildings can issue permission. And so we've done that with this resolution 2024 by having a valid California concealed weapon permit. That is your permission to be on county property. But I also extended that to the employees because they were excluded all this time. Last year, for example, I could freely come and go to the admin building and other government buildings, county buildings, city buildings, city property, county property, properly permitted and concealed. And I've done that for many, many years. And that was taken from me. And this solved that one portion. But I always felt that it wasn't right that we excluded the employees from that same right. So here the public can come and go. Elected officials can come and go. Criminals are coming and going, and the county employee is not able to carry on county property. To me, that made no sense. Now, I attempted this change at the city of Reading, and it failed 2-3, which was unfortunate. And it was really shocking this time around that this didn't pass 5-0. But Supervisor Garmin and Supervisor Mary Rickert did not support this, and they've all said that they're big, you know, supporters of the Second Amendment, but apparently only when it suits them. And so I'm very happy with this resolution. Now, the other policy with regards to firearms for employees, that policy will come back, and that should be hopefully approved. And then it'll be a meet and confer with the employee unions and the different bargaining groups. And each bargaining group, if they want to, they can accept it and have more freedoms for their employees and more safety, because that's what it's really about. Or they cannot. So you can lead a horse to water. Doesn't mean that horse will necessarily drink that water. So I've done what I could to give everybody fair and equal protection with regards to having their CCW valid on county property.
Yeah, I think one of the things that, again, gave me a bit of pause is on the last program when your opponent, who you're running against in District 4, made the comment that, you know, the Constitution is open to interpretation, that the interpretation is done by the courts. Well, if that's the case, and we have to have interpretation of what the Constitution means with the courts, then why is it Article 20 is in the California Constitution, which means you have to take an oath to the California Constitution, and you have to take an oath to the United States Constitution and the California Constitution. You have to take those oaths. Those are the oaths that are important, not the laws. If the law's not constitutional, unconstitutional, then, yeah, there's no way in the world that you enforce those.
You know, Terry, if we were in a normal state, like Wyoming or Montana or Utah, these types of issues probably would not come up as often. But we live in a tyrannical state of California, and they're constantly violating the Constitution, constantly. And the courts are not fair either. And so, really, who's going to stand in that line? And more, as every year passes, I think it's going to have to be done at the county level. So much is going to have to be done here in California at the county level to protect the citizens of each county.
Right. And why would the priority be, when you take office in the state of California, to first of all and foremost take an oath to the Constitution of the United States and the California Constitution? Because that is the supreme law of the land, Article 3, Section 1, California Constitution. Nick, how are you, sir? What say you?
I'm good, thank you. Hey, Patrick, if Mark Baird's lawsuit is successful and we can open carry, will we be able to carry concealed also without a permit?
Well, I guess it is going to be determined on that case. Now, I know in the Dakotas, for example, there you can carry anywhere you want. You can carry concealed or openly. I think the established thinking and opinions throughout most of the circuits, of the nine circuits, is that your constitutional right may be limited to open carry. But it's going to be up to the court to ultimately say what your right is going to be. That's the best that I
can. Yeah, well, in talking to Mark Baird, Nick, we had a program with him on last week, I believe. If you go back to that, I think he answers that question. And if we have him on again, or, you know, I'll ask him. But I think that the deal is that it won't be a matter of where you carry the weapon. The idea will be that you won't have to get a permit for it. So whether you carry it under a coat because it's cold outside, or you carry it on your hip without a coat in the summer when it's warm outside, I don't think that's going to be an issue either way, because the idea is that you know, constitutional carry means you carry it anywhere you want.
You know,
a woman can carry it in her purse if she wants.
And there are a lot of states out there who already have open carry.
Right.
What you see is when it first goes into effect, there is going to be some nervousness at the beginning because you're seeing obviously more guns than what you've seen before. But the reality is these laws don't change criminal behaviors. Criminals are not going to have open carry their gun. They're going to continue to illegally carry concealed. So the reality is the guns that you are going to see, and you're going to see more of them, are going to be from law-abiding people, and the people will understand that and respect that, and a sense of calm will eventually come. It'll be difficult for Californians to accept that. I love it. I'm waiting for it.
Okay. Well, Nick must be gone then, right? Okay. Why don't we go ahead and go off to our break and do that right now? So we're going to go off for our break. We'll be back with Patrick and Lori Jones, and time has come for 51. Let's get it done.
Amen. We'll be right back. I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Get ready for a game day experience like no other. Join Wind River Resort and Casino for the ultimate tailgate party.
January 11th in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center.
Indulge in a mouth-watering buffet featuring a winning lineup of tailgating favorites.
Score on cash and prize drawings throughout the game.
Must be 21 to attend this exciting event.
Doors open at 2:30 p.m.
Some people talk football. We live it at Wind River.
For tickets, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
People, they're wrong. They're keeping the truth for their power and gain. And taking whatever we've got.
Very nice. Was that Sally Lou? Good job, honey.
It was already bad enough I had to listen to Billy Joel earlier, and all I'm asking for is either Hank, Waylon, Willie, any one of those.
Well, the next time you come on, we'll do that for you, buddy. Anyway, so I'd like to get into AB 969. I think that we'll get into some other laws and things that have been passed, but AB 969 really seems to be the hot-button issue out of every other thing that's really going on, and how the governor can just sort of pass a law to say something, and it was an emergency law, which I found was pretty amazing. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, and so when I was vice chair in 2022, we had quite a few meetings with the ROV, Alan, and talking about some of the things that we saw very disturbing in the 2022 primary election that we felt needed to be investigated. And it was at a time, and still to this day, that a lot of people are losing trust with our voting systems and just voting in general. There is also tons of internal communications with the California Secretary of State about how to try to restore trust with the voters. And because we're moving in the wrong direction, people need to know that their vote counts and that it's an honest election. And we were moving away from that. And as we had those meetings, they were getting more and more controversial and heated. And I wasn't getting answers to simple questions that could be solved. And so in my line of thinking, when you have a issue that's a concern, you deal with it, you answer it, and then you move on to the next one. And you deal with that, and you answer that, and if there's wrongdoing, you fix it, you admit it and fix it, and you move on to the next one and the next one. And it's really exactly what the California Secretary of State had recommended as well, is take each and every issue, whether it's voter rolls, mm-hmm. chain of custody, mm-hmm. Ballots, any of those kinds of topics, deal with them one-on-one and establish trust and fix problems. Well, I wasn't getting that out of our ROV. In fact, I'm not even sure today where our ROV is. We have a a
you mean physically?
Physically, I'm not sure where our ROV is. And the public is starting to ask, where is the ROV? Why is she not coming to the boardroom or to the Shasta County Election Commission meeting? She should be there. Not sure what's going on, but she's nowhere to be found. And this is the exact time you want to be found. You want to be present. You want to answer questions. Well, in 2022, those questions didn't get answered. So when I became chair in 2023, one of the first things I did, because I knew we had the authority over our electronic tabulation machines, Dominion, and so I put that on the agenda to eliminate, to terminate that contract. And it was ultimately supported by the majority of the board on a 3-2, and that contract could be terminated at any time without penalty. Now, it was a $2.2 million contract. They were leased machines, and there were other costs involved in that, too. And so when you really look at it, it's probably well over $3 million and probably approaching $4 million, to be honest. By eliminating that machine, I wanted to start then having a discussion about hand counting. The ROV fought me on that, wanted to start talking about, well, you want to buy one of these other machines then? And it's like, no, I don't want a machine. We just got rid of a machine.
Right.
I want to talk about hand counting. We all know about the recount procedure that all counties do. I was a participant in one in 2012. It worked well. It's a requirement by California election law to recount ballots in a close election by hand, so you do it right. And we all do that. An entire country's, whole Western Europe now counts by hand. We'd gotten threatening letters from the U.S. Attorney General, the Attorney General, the U.S. Department of Justice, threatening us that if we violate any of the voting rights with regards to handicap penalties of X, Y, and Z. So I decided that I put on the agenda to buy certain heart equipment to be able for the handicap to be able to use at the precincts. We did that. And all those concerns then went away. Well, quickly, what I did not know was that they were busy working in Sacramento creating and crafting Assembly Bill 969. They did move it on an emergency status to move it quickly, and basically passed it as fast as they could and eliminated our ability to hand count. And I asked, I said, well, what if we use electronic tabulation and then we hand count as well? They'll match, and it'll be a great way to confirm what we've done. And they said, absolutely not. You will not hand count. You will use the machines only, and only one of three that we tell you you can use, and all three of them have proprietary software. Well, that's a definition of insanity. We're going into that blind. So if anybody out there thinks we have fair elections, think again. Do the research. Do your own work. Dig deep. You'll find the truth. We have to get back to fair elections, and we're not there. We attempted. This board made the right moves. What's also interesting is I had people from all over the world, reporters come over from Netherlands and England. In fact, the gentleman that came over from England, I said, why are you here? You know, we're a little county, one little county in California, and you're a reporter from England. Why does this matter to you? What is the significance of one little county that shouldn't matter? No one had an answer to that, but they spent plenty of time to get him on a plane and have him come all the way over here for an interview. And the reality is it does matter, because all this cheating, all the fraud, all the illegal ballots are all done at the county level, and they're done all over. We've just recently learned about our voter rolls and how dirty they are, and they're dirty in every county in California and probably in the whole country. So we have a serious problem to get back trust. If you don't trust elections, your gut instincts is correct. But I have faith that we are going to correct it. It may not get corrected by 2024 this year, but there's enough people now that know the truth and that will continue to push forward so that we can eventually get to fair elections. More and more people are finding out about it. If you do your own research, don't listen to me. Don't listen to any of the experts like Jeffrey O'Donnell or Seth Ketchell or Clint Curtis or Dr. Frank or Joe Vaughn or any of those guys. Do your own research. It's right there. All you have to do is find it, and you'll see about the fraudulent activity and the vote flipping that's been going on for 20 years. And so we know, they know, and they know we know, And so now we have to fix the problem. And, you know, I was really proud to introduce and create a Shasta County Elections Commission.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit. Yeah, that is a really interesting concept.
And so it's just like the Shasta County Planning Commission.
Right.
And we passed an ordinance to do that. So that is a local law, and it's allowed within the election laws of California. We're only the second one in the state to do that. And that group is tasked at doing just the thing that I started to do in 2022, ask questions and get answers and get to the bottom of problems. And once all the problems are fixed, I think we might have a fair election. So I really appreciate the work that they have done. Now, I've been criticized on that. In fact, pretty much everything I did in 2023, I was criticized on. In fact, my opponent, well, he says he doesn't. Just take a look at his website and you'll see that everything good that we did to further ideas and policies here in Shasta County in a conservative way, he has criticized me on those. And so I don't think he's much of a conservative, to be honest, and I think he's being disingenuous with the voters. But that's a different topic. I'm very proud of the work that we did last year. The elections are a big part of that. This year we'll continue on with that and then also continue on taking a look at excess regulations and fees. We started this year by terminating the impact fees, and we have more to do, more to go, and I think the county would be better for it when we come out the other side.
Yeah, if people want to look that up, it's California Election Code 25201, if they want to look that up, because that's something you can do in your county is create that commission.
Yeah, and I was meeting, you know, I've been meeting almost every week with a great group here in Shasta County that every week they were looking into things, and that's kind of where this came from, is from that local grassroots effort as to what can we do to give some teeth to get to fair elections. You know, and to be honest, you know, and I know Chairman Cry had said this early on. He goes, I don't think we have problems in Shasta County. I had said the same thing. But after 2020, I knew something wasn't right. Had no data, had no research. I just felt something wasn't right. And then as we started to dig into the data and to the facts, then you start seeing something different. So for most of us, you know, this has just been something that's been happening over the last 4 years. Now we're aware, and we are actively attempting to get back to fair elections. And if the entire western part of Europe can go to hand counting, so can we. And, you know, even when I was talking to Clint Curtis, he's the open source programmer that designed
right.
the vote flipping scheme.
2004.
He was saying you need to get back to open source.
Right.
Now he believes through these last few years that hand counting is
yes.
the superior method.
Yes.
And even him as a programmer, a very good programmer.
And a liberal Democrat.
And a liberal Democrat realizes yeah. that what we attempted to do was in fact the right thing to do.
Right. You know, you talk, I mean, there is a lot of discussion, too. I mean, where is Kathy Darling Allen? I mean, you know, where, I mean, because we do pay her. She just got a raise.
And well, so where I was thinking, you know, she could be skiing. It is ski season. But also, you can be an astronaut now. And so she could even be in space. That's a possibility nowadays.
Let me see. Me as a constituent
right.
and yeah. her being out.
We pay her.
Well, not just that. I mean, I completely understand if somebody had an emergency health
sure.
issue or a surgery
sure.
or a death in the family, you know, but being out for months and then not informing your constituents, I believe even me as a constituent deserves to know
yeah.
why she's not there
yeah.
at a time of a presidential primary.
Yeah.
I mean, this is her goal time. I remember her saying she didn't have time to come to the boardroom because she was doing training, you know, for her poll workers and different things for the 1700, you know, turnout that we just had on our last election. But now to leave during a prime time and not give some type of a statement, if it's stress, then she no longer qualifies for the job and she should step down. And she should allow, you know, someone to come in there and run the department at a critical time like this. It surprised me. And I want to tell you guys one more thing. During that last election, I had some people that were working the polls. And you talk about the California Secretary of State coming in. They came in couple times into one little precinct just double-checking that they were not hand-counting. This was a 1,700 turnout. Why are they sending people and wasting our tax money and time sending someone for a little thing like that? Why would they do that? And why would they ignore, I know Kathy said that their office spent hours, and I'm sure they did, on a hand counting method where we had multiple hand counting methods that she just opened her mind to it and looked at it and said, wow, you know, really, these are not too bad. Let's not waste any more of our time. Let's incorporate this with the changes that we want for our county. And when she says, they do a 1% hand count, so maybe that's not too much for us here, but look at San Bernardino or L.A. When their 1% hand count is well over 100,000 voters, and they do that, they have no problem with it. So why are they negating? I know why. I mean, it's the state control, same thing they did with the recall. As soon as Modi was out of office, they changed it where the governor would get to a point. They did SB2, again, controlling where we can carry the Fountain Wind Project. Unanimously, the Planning Commission as well as the board did not want this in our county, and yet there's another overreach, and then boom, everything we do, AB 969. That answers you why that guy from England came out, because we're doing stuff that's changing things, and they're losing control, and they're not happy about that. The state wants to control us, and tell you what, we're a cruel, rural county. I am so proud of my husband. I want someone up there on the dais that is going to stand up for me, that is going to fight, even if it's not popular, like he fought back when they had the school walkout. He's the one who opened the door for hundreds of healthcare workers, for the doctors, the nurses, the teachers. He was there. He listened. He stood up before it was popular. And he was there and fighting because he knew you needed to have your own choice, that you needed to have your own control and your own rights. And thank you for letting me get on my high horse
because
people
you're right
do not hear this out there. They do not hear it
right
in the regular media. And I'm tired when people come to your state. They say they're so surprised when I tell them some of these minor little details. They're saying, really, I didn't hear that. Well, you go to a board meeting. I attend the whole thing. And when you see a 15-minute excerpt on the news that gives so little facts or twisted or leaves something out, just like saying how much money it's costing for the hand counting and what we've
when
and Kevin
accurate
has caught, and it is not accurate.
Not
the
accurate
numbers have gone up to 45 million. It's ridiculous.
I know.
Let's get to some facts, folks. Get some facts.
Well, you know,
research
and
it.
And that's such a great point. See, it's pretty what Patrick is doing, what your husband is doing, is he is upholding the Constitution, because that's where he took the oath to. And again, it shocked me when his opponent said we had to go to court to determine what the Constitution said.
Mm-mm.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that's not even comprehensible. So when you stop and think about the law is the Constitution. What Patrick Jones has done, I've seen, is that he stands up for the Constitution. He stands up for his constituents, just like you said.
Well, and he doesn't, I'm sorry to say, pat himself on the back.
No, he doesn't.
And I hear that happened a lot with some of the board members. I know how hard he works. I know what he does in the background. I know the meetings that he has. But the public, I want them to know that right now. And there's things he can't talk about because he's been asked to reserve some of that. So they think he's not working on the jail. My God, he's regularly working on the jail. So I just want people to know, just because he's not out there tooting his horn, I guarantee you he is working in the background for every single one of you, whether you vote for him, whether you like him, it doesn't matter. He's working for our whole Shasta County. And God bless you, Patrick.
Thank you, honey. You know, and I've always...
We have a caller. Just
sure,
who's the caller, Christina?
Go ahead.
His name is Dick Esther Richard. Should I connect him?
Who?
Richard.
Oh, yeah, Richard.
Thank you so much for understanding my accent, and Richard is...
Oh, you're amazing, Christina.
Yeah, she is amazing. Totally amazing.
Richard, are you here?
Yes.
Okay.
Am I on the air now?
You are.
No,
you are, Dick. Go ahead.
Hey, Patrick, I have a question about this new law, but who's allowed to teach the CCW classes? Question one, is your brother Marshall not allowed anymore? And question two, how many instructors are still left in our area who can teach?
That's a good question. So right now, well, we had, last year, we had 40 instructors. We still have those 40 instructors. They were good instructors. With the new requirements, that went down to 5. It was mostly police officers still serving. Now, there is a meeting. I can tell you that the sheriff is coming forward. There is a meeting tomorrow with all the instructors, and they're going to try to work through it to get everybody going again. So that looks like there'll be about a month or so disruption, and then people like my brother should be able to get back instructing the way they've done for the last 20 or 30 years. So hang tight. It is going to be a little bit of disruption, but it won't be much longer.
Yeah, because if it reduced from 40 to 5, it means you'd have to probably wait 6 months to get in line to get you sign up for your class. There just won't be enough instructors to keep it moving with all the demand that we have in our county.
Exactly, but that's what the governor wanted,
yeah,
right?
It's intentional, Dick.
You know, he made it very difficult, and, you know, we had, 40 instructors that were NRA certified instructors, have been instructing for a long time, and that's not good enough for the state of California, and they led the way in instruction. So it's just a typical tyrannical overreach from the government, starting with Governor Newsom. But we're going to fix it, and starting in February, you should start seeing a bunch more classes, including ours.
And Dick, as a Korean War veteran, I want to thank you for your service, and I guarantee you they'll move you to the front of the line.
Oh, thank you. Okay, that's it. Thanks. Thank you, Patrick.
All right. Thank you, Dick.
All right, buddy. Anyway, we have a night meeting next week, and that's something that this board did, which everybody was really fond of. People, I don't think, talk about that enough. These night meetings have been great so that if you work, and a lot of us do work, and if you work, you're able to come to the meeting. Is there anything on this particular agenda coming up that really stands out at the 5:30 meeting?
And last year we did. I had the chair chooses the calendar of the agenda,
right.
And so I added more meetings. I added 4 night meetings. Chair Cry now has added 7 night meetings.
Nice.
And we didn't have anything that was earth-shaking to be put on for the 30th or the 31st, whatever Tuesday is. Go draw a blank.
The 30th, because Wednesday is the most important day of the year.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And, but there is some important issues that are on there, and it's worth coming. And it is a night meeting. Now, what I like to do, and again, this is up to the chair, is to have an important issue on a night meeting, because it allows people that work during the day to come to that important meeting. So, but that is up to the chair how he wants to arrange the agenda.
We do have John Knight on the line. John, how are you, brother?
Oh, hey, I'm doing. It's another great day to be alive. Great show. I think you guys are doing a wonderful job with it. I just wanted to add to one thing to what Lori was talking about with the lies in the media and the lies from. I'm going to outright call it lies, because it's been proven that hand counting can be cheaper than using these machines. Okay, these contracts and the maintenance and it taking 3 to 4 weeks to count our votes, we could do it much faster, more efficiently, and it's not going to cost millions of dollars to extra more money to do these elections. And even if it did, the one thing that didn't get brought up that was just mind-blowing to me is that she said it was going to take 1,300 extra poll workers to be able to do hand counting. Okay, so if you take the average of what, how many people vote, which is around, say, let's just say $70,000, you divide it by 1,300, you end up with about one extra poll worker for every 53 people that vote. And anybody that has any common sense would realize that that is a complete lie. And I don't know if the media is involved in these lies, and they go along with it for their own reasons, or they just don't do any critical thinking. But I just want people to think about that. Do you really think it's going to take an extra 1,300 people or one extra poll worker on top of the staff that's already there to be able to do a hand count? So, I mean, it just mathematically makes no sense, and I just wanted to point that out for people that didn't know how ridiculous that claim is.
Yeah, thank you, John, for that comment. And not only did she say that, but she went to Sacramento in front of the Senate and Assembly and told it to all them, too. You know, and that was a statement that was under oath. And so what it did was it put a lot of fear that if a small county of 180,000 would need that many people to count ballots, that a large county would be impossible. So she did a great disservice, and I think it was all well planned. I mean, they had worked on this for months, months and months. And thank you, John, for all that you do. I know you've been a good, hard working patriot here in Shasta County. I appreciate all the things you've done.
I think I'm just doing this for my own selfish reasons here. I want to try to preserve a future for my kids and their kids. And, you know, I think it's time to get off the sidelines and get involved. I don't think there's anything extraordinary about what any of us that are fighting on a daily basis, you know, we're trying to fight for our self-preservation, you know, and for the future of humanity. I mean, this is, if everything's going perfectly fine and everyone's so mad that things are trying to get shaked up, you know, this is, if you think everything's fine, then look around you. Take a look around you.
Sir.
Anybody who's been around, I was born in 78. Some of you guys have been around a lot longer than me, but this whole country's going to crap. And if we don't get our voter integrity back, we're screwed. Okay, if we're going to let machines count for us. So anyways, I'm not going to take a bunch of your guys' time out. I just
want
to make that point.
All right.
Hey, John, I'll point one more thing out for you, too, even if you pop off the line. That's fine. I know we have another caller. But in probably a week's time, we had over 300 people that volunteered to hand count for free. And they would be qualified. I think that's also a misleading factor from the ROV. And when I personally went down to the ROV and participated in their hand count method, approximately they said, okay, we can do 16 ballots an hour. I said, okay, that's fine. You know, give or take. You want to be on the side of accuracy, not quickness. So I understood that. So in an 8-hour span, that's 128 ballots counted by one team.
Right.
Now, if you had 100 teams and they do teams of four, which is 400 people, which I already have that easily, we could get that. That would help to volunteer hand count along, and then they could use the ROV staff as supervision over these teams. And there's some really smart, educated people out there that I know. I think, what do we have, a 12-year-old or an 8-year-old hand counting, and they did just fine.
They did great.
Yeah, and so if you do the math, that would be, you have 100 stations, which is only 400 people. That's 12,800 a day. So in 6 days, you would be counting 76,800 ballots. So I'm not sure why they say it takes so long, you know, with the hand counting. Argentina can do a whole country in a day. By God, Shasta County's better than that. We can do it, too.
Right. I think they're lying. What do you think, Dominic?
Hey, thank you, Terry.
We got 2 minutes, buddy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just, you know, I'm the president of the Shasta County Republican Assembly, and when we came up to vote for endorsements, Patrick and his opponent, Patrick got a unanimous approval to endorse from us. And it was just a slam dunk. And the thing that concerns me about his opponent is that he, like you said, with the Second Amendment, it's not up to us to, you know, write the law, and he's going to acquiesce to the state forcing their will on us, Shasta County, and that's exactly what we don't want. And secondly, what got me was his, you know, 10-page whatever it was in a news cafe. And
oh, I didn't know about that.
I call it a rag. They lie to the public. And he went in there and got his campaign started with this liberal article. And it's nonsense that he's running.
Hey, Dominic, can you call in to Sovereign Minds with that? That's the next program on. It goes from 10 to 12, and I'm sure they'd love to hear that. Just call in and offer that information, and that way you can have a little bit more time explaining that. And thank you for what you do. Thank you for your group. Thank you for your integrity. And say hello to your beautiful wife for us, Patricia.
Hey, Lori's a firecracker today.
Oh, Lori's always a firecracker, man.
I know. Okay, thank you, Terry.
All righty. So, Patrick, we got a minute, buddy. Bring us home.
So, you know, whether I get reelected on March 5th or not, we're going to be busy all year. We've got a lot to do, and I do believe I will easily get reelected. And I encourage people to vote no on the recall because I need Kevin there. He's doing a great job. He really is one of the hardest working supervisors I've ever seen. We'd like to continue on this motion that we have and the work that we've done. We're doing good, hard work for the citizens here of Shasta County. It's conservative policies and directions, and we're turning this big ship. It's a slow process, but we're making real progress. And I look forward to the next, 5 years this year, of course, and the next 4 years after that. Get out the word, donate to my campaign, go online. You can check me out or just come by and see me at 1600 East Cypress. Give me a call, 530-222-3223. I appreciate the support. Thank you, Terry.
You bet. And time has come for 51. Sovereign Minds is up next. Stay tuned.
It's not our bill. We had no say.